Tanya for the 15th of Sivan is at the end of Perek Dalet, Chapter 4, Shara Yichud Ve'emuna, and it's on page 300, the beginning of the bracket. The Alter Rebbe is explaining the idea of Tzimtzum, the role of Shem Elikim, that is like the shield that restricts the flow of creative energy, of Chesed, of Gedulas Hashem, and that's why we perceive the created being as a separate entity, because we don't perceive its creator, and therefore it's like the sun, where the rays of the sun have left the body of the sun. And there they take on an existence of their own. In the same way, it appears to us that the world has an existence of its own only when it is away from its creator, from its source. How can it be away from its creator? God is everywhere. It's away from His Creator in our experience. We experience it without its Creator. And it without its Creator seems to be a separate entity. The question is, what exactly is this Shem Elikim? What exactly is this misperception that we have? And what does it mean that it comes from Shem Elikim and from Tzimtzum, and that the Tzimtzum only restricts the creative flow, the creative energy? We learned in the first Perek of Shara Yichud Ve'emunah that in the creative process, in the flow of energy and creation, God creates through words, through speech. There are 10 utterances, and those utterances can be divided and subdivided and rearranged and substituted, so that from these 10 utterances you can rearrange thousands and millions of utterances, each one of them creating a different creature. So already in the creative process there is an element of Tzimtzum, not just in the withholding of further creation. So how does all this work? So basically the Alter Rebbe says that there are two parts to the Tzimtzum. One is literal Tzimtzum, in that instead of having one big glob of existence where there are no parts and there are no distinguishable separate creatures, but everything is one collective glob, in order to have separate creatures you have to have Tzimtzum. That each creature is created a certain way, is given only a certain amount of godly energy, and that's why this is bigger and this is smaller, this is holier, this is unholy, and so on. So, in the act of creation itself, we already have distinctions and limitations. The other thing that comes from Tzimtzum is not only that you have finite beings separate from each other and different from each other, but that you also have a hiding, a concealment of God's involvement in creation. The fact that God is involved in creation is hidden. That comes from Tzimtzum, along with the divisiveness, where each creature has its own properties, each creature has its own needs, its own world, its own identity, and so on. Let's see it in the words. V'hine v'chinas ha-tzimtzum v'hester ha-chayis. Nikra b'shem kelim. This Tzimtzum and the concealment of life is not only a shield that simply blocks out, but rather it's a keli that contains the light. The hachayus atzmei, and the life itself, the flow, the light, is nikra b'shem eir, is called light. Shekemei sha'keli mechas al masha b'techei. And what is the meaning of keli? And how is that different from sheath? A sheath merely blocks, withholds, restricts. Whereas a keli does something, affects what is within it. We'll soon see. Shekimei shehakeli mechas al masha b'techei. Just as a vessel conceals what is hidden within it, or what is within it, kach v'chinas ha-tzimtzum mechas al masha b'techei ha-shefeya. In the same way, the Tzimtzum covers and conceals the life that is within them, the life that flows to the world, and the keli affected, not only in the negative, not only in withholding or restricting its expression, but also in a positive way, in an active way. As he will give the example that when you look at colored water through a colored glass, the water looks colored. It's not that you see clear water and a colored glass. When you look at the water through the glass, you see colored glass and colored water. The water takes on the color of the glass. So the explanation there is that the color that the glass has affects not only our perception of the water within the glass. The truth is that the water within the glass presents itself in colored form. So it's not that we mistakenly, we've got an optical illusion, and we mistakenly think that the water is clear, that the water is colored when in fact it's clear. It's not a mistake. It's not even a contradiction. A person can know full well that the water is clear without any color at all, but now as he looks at the water through the glass, then the glass's color, the color of the glass, colors also the other scene, the other image, meaning the water in this case. So that the water inside the colored glass presents itself as colored. It's not just that we have the mistake of thinking that it's colored. In other words, the water by itself, when it's not presenting itself, even while it sits in a colored glass, it isn't colored. It's pure. But when it wants to present itself, and it has to present itself through the vessel of the eyes and the nose, then the water itself comes to your eye in a colored form. So it is clothed within the keli. It's clothed in the vessel. And that's what the word vessel is supposed to imply. That whatever energy is going on, whatever flow is happening, it's happening in the head. It's happening in the expression of the given item. The water presents itself to the person. It expresses itself through color, through the colored glass, and therefore into color, so it is clothed in the color, even though it itself remains pure and unchanged. And that's why he gives the mashal of a keli, that the keli and its relationship to the eyes, when you have a light in a vessel, the vessel is not merely a restraint. The vessel actually gives form and shape to that which is in it. In this case, the form is the color. So when a person sees colored water, he's not merely having an optical illusion. He is seeing that part of the water that presents itself outwardly. And that part has a color. והכלים הן הן ה-ACA ששורשון ה-ACA מנצפח. And what are these vessels? What is this name of Elikim? What is the Tzimtzum? The Tzimtzum are the letters through which God creates, the root of them being in the five letters Mem Nun Tzadik Pechov Shein He Gvures. They are the five letters of severity. They break up the breath of the speaker, and they create from that breath five different sounds, five different forms that become the 22 letters to create the 22 letters of the Torah. Mem Nun Tzadik Pechov are all those letters that have a final letter, terminal letter. And they are the Hegvures, the five severities, and it's the severity that breaks up the breath so that it be divided and subdivided into 22 different sounds. Otherwise, the breath itself with which we speak has no sound. It's neutral. But when it functions through the mantzapach, through the five severities, then it takes on the sounds of the 22 letters. Where in turn does this severity come from? It comes from a level called Butzina de Kardanisa, the light of darkness. In other words, revelation of that which is essentially dark, a level that is not meant to be revealed. Shehi Gvura Ilo de Atik Yemen. It is a level of severity of Gvura that comes not in the 6 days of creation, in the days, but Ancient of Days, it is much higher and precedes actual Gvura as one of the 6 days of creation. This is Atik Yemen, higher than the days of creation. That's the severity. Sheirish HaChasodim U'gam Ken Chesed, the Atik Yemen Ki Yidu Al Yedichem. So that you don't have a conflict between Chesed and Gvura, where the Chesed wants to create endlessly and infinitely, and the Gvura comes along and says no, but where you would have an actual conflict, and you wouldn't have a harmonious creation, a harmonious universe. That's why the Alter Rebbe says that the Shedish, the origin of this severity, comes from a place higher than creation, and the same is true of the kindness, that it too comes from a place higher than creation, and there, kindness and severity are not contradiction. They're not in competition. There, they can exist side by side without a contradiction. In the Hayyim Yom for the 15th of Sivan, the Rebbe writes that B'tchilo Hoye Rabbeinu HaGodol Eim Medrushim K'tzorim Me'ed. In the beginning, when Alter Rebbe began teaching, he would say very brief tezis, very brief my mother. They were Marishe Halev, they stirred the heart, Umalhivim Me'ed, and were very exciting. The Nikru B'Shem Drachim. They were called ways, paths. Achakach, later on, Nikru Igres. They were called letters. The Hemaruchim Yeses. And they are somewhat longer, more lengthy than the Drachim. Achakach Eshtalshel Shenikru Teres. Eventually, it came about that the Maimorim were called Teres. The Hem Shor Shehadrushim Shebetera Eru Lukuti Teres. And they are the basis for the Maimorim that appear in Teira Eir and Lukuti Teira. Achakach, Aruchim Ma'at Yeser. After that came a stage where the Rebbe's writings became even more extensive. The Nikru Ksovim. And then they were called writings. The Haim Bebiur Bahasoga Rechova Lufi Erech. And they already contain not only principal ideas, but also explanation with elaboration.